Today is Friday, May 3rd. The title for our devotional is Spiritual Gifts. It'd be a terrible dereliction of duty on my part if I were to not include the biblical teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, as we're spending an entire week talking about the empowerment of the Spirit for ministry. So before we dive into spiritual gifts, I've noticed a trend in my own thinking and among my generation especially. We tend not to talk about spiritual gifts as much. I think there are a couple of reasons for that. One, the topic of spiritual gifts was a common topic in the church of my youth. That being the case, I tend to assume that everybody knows about them, or I tend to view them as less interesting because they are so commonly discussed. Secondly, with the emergence of Christian psychology, which has been a good thing, no doubt, we tend to put more of our focus on that as the shiny new toy and talk more about personalities and skills instead of talking about the spiritual gifts. So we're going to talk about them today, regardless of how we got there, but just so that I think we can process through that and think through why we tend to not talk about the spiritual gifts as much. That said, spiritual gifts, they are an essential part of the ministry of the church that we can't afford to overlook. In fact, it's primarily through these gifts that we are to engage in the ministry of the local church together. For today, we're going to read all of 1 Corinthians 12. But as we read, there are a few things that I want you to notice. One, no one person has all the gifts. Okay? No one gift is given to all believers either. The point is that we need each other in the church. We're called to be in community. We need one another. All of us make up the different parts of the one body of Christ. Two, the Spirit distributes them as He wills. Okay, you can't pick which gift we receive. It's a gift from God. Three, the gifts are to be employed for the edification of the church, not for personal exaltation or benefit. Four, no recipient is intrinsically, quote, less than any other recipient. We all need each other. Five, we should desire the gifts that edify the church the most. Paul is writing this in the context of the church overvaluing the gift of tongues. Tongues didn't really edify the church very much, so they should desire the greater gifts, he says in verse 31, like prophecy and teaching. So, not applying this too much today because we will discuss it in our Holy Spirit 101 course. In that course, you'll take an inventory on the spiritual gifts and help you discern your gifts. So if you've never taken that course, I encourage you to pray and seek the Spirit and use that inventory to help you discern what gifts God has given you. Sometimes they align with your natural personality and your giftings, and sometimes they are very different. So that said, let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still, another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Just as a body, though one, is many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And yet I will show you the most excellent way. Then he launches into chapter 13, famously the love chapter. Again, this is in the context of the church and how the church is to interact with one another in the midst of differing gifts that the Spirit has distributed. Love must be central.